Hola, Locamores. Diosa here from Locatora Radio.
Y Mala to talk classic telenovela tropes. More like our bedtime stories growing up, no?
Sí, those dramatic switched at birth dramas or evil stepmoms hiding the fact that you're really the boss storylines still bring the gasps.
Like Fabuloso brings the passion to cleaning with 2x concentrated formula to take the drama out of any mess.
I don't know about you, but when I smell Fabuloso's remarkable lavender scent in my casa, I know it's all going to be happily ever after.
Fabuloso's 2x concentrated formula provides 2x more active ingredients versus non-concentrated Fabuloso original. Use as directed.
This is like the most wholesome thing ever. I'm looking at Bailey and she's got her wine and her stuffy.
Well, she just got back from a cruise, so... You
know. She's like, I need all the support. I need alcohol. I need a stuffed animal.
Sweatpants, hair tie, chilling with no makeup on.
And everybody's here this week.
Yes.
So, sorry we didn't actually put out an episode on Halloween.
Oliver's fault.
It was kind of like
we crossed wires.
Everybody was out of town.
Or I had something going on.
For the Halloween week.
You know, Halloween.
But I was in a different country.
She was in Mexico.
Yeah, I mean, she went a bit.
So, we didn't put it out an episode that week. We got our wires crossed a little bit. But it's okay, because we're going to make up for it tonight. So... Lately, we've been reviewing like older horror movies, just stuff that we liked, just kind of cutting our teeth a little bit, figuring out the format of the show, and we're still working on that.
Anal beadsing me in.
Because if you're an OG Creeps in the Crypt fan, you remember the first about 15 episodes were touch and go.
Damn, 15, huh? We're going to kill that.
Yeah, we'll have this figured out.
We'll knock that out of part. We're not.
How many podcasts now at this point?
Yeah.
What are we at? Well, like five.
This is episode five.
This is episode five. Yeah.
So we'll have it figured out. We'll have the pacing set up. But
look at Ripley when you did that.
Ripley.
Anyway, so happy late Halloween, everybody.
We fucking suck.
I don't know why. That just reminded me of like the entire Jersey Shore.
Ripley, you ready to gym tan laundry?
Where's your chapstick, Ripley?
Where's the chapstick?
She looks so mad. Anyway, so we're reviewing Late Night with the Devil. It's our first new horror film, and I'm really fucking excited because we're going to focus on more current horror films that have been put out this year for a while.
Yeah, this was put out last year.
It was released at like Sundance, I believe.
It said 2023.
Well, and then it finally...
I'm not trying to split hairs. I'm just pointing it out.
There you go. Now you're complete.
Yes.
It might have got put out last year. Either way. I saw it this year.
That's what it said on the thing. That's all I'm saying.
I know it came to Shudder this year. So
yeah, but they never put the year that they put it on the streaming service.
It was when it was shot.
It's always when it was released.
Every time they put something out at Sundance, it's a horror movie. It's like it goes out into the world, and they're like, "Oh, we can market this. We can put it on like a streaming service. Somebody will binge watch it."
I don't even think Late Night with the Devil got a theatrical release.
No.
I never even knew it existed until
Never heard of this.
I don't think it got one.
We saw it as a trailer, right? On something else.
Yeah.
Right?
It was on Shudder.
Yeah, we saw it as a trailer and we were like, ooh, that looks kind of cool. You're excited.
It was a cool movie.
I think you guys showed me the trailer at some point.
Yeah, I know we wanted to watch it. But, Bailey, if you would like to read the synopsis for our listeners that may or may not be interested in the film.
We'll fucking do. All right, so set in October 31st, 1977, Johnny Carson's rival, Jack Delroy, hosts a syndicated talk show, Night Owls, that has long been a trusted companion to insomniacs around the country. A year after the tragic death of Jack's wife, ratings have plummeted. Desperate to turn his fortunes around, Jack plans a Halloween special like no other, unaware he is about to unleash evil into
Jesus.
The, One fucking job.
You know,
let me start that sentence over. Jack plans a Halloween special like no other, unaware he is about to unleash evil into the living rooms of America. And one of the tags is hashtag dead wife.
I didn't know you could tag a movie dead wife movies. You
fucking can.
I wonder what other movies are listed as dead wife movies. Oh my God.
Probably fucking John Wick.
Satanic cult, hashtag killing a child.
Spoiler alert. So
Christ.
Let's talk about the opening setup to the film, how it like plays Jack Delroy's like start to now of his career as the host of Night Owls.
I just found my perfume that I lost like 2 weeks ago. You know where I lost it?
That is so cool, dude.
In this chair.
Are you aware we're trying to do a fucking podcast here?
No.
I'm sorry you sat on your perfume and it went up your asshole.
That's not what happened. That is
not what's important here, lady.
What's important?
Getting through this movie review.
Oh, okay. Proceed.
Can you?
I've completely lost train of thought. So
the beginning of the movie, I had strong thoughts on it. I really hated the beginning of the movie. I really wasn't a fan of that format of making it seem like, hey, this is like a documentary.
Is that what you thought it was going to be?
It felt like that.
So
it didn't, because I didn't know anything about this movie, and
if
I,
you watch
and,
it and again
in the '70s, I know that there was like a game show host that was a serial killer, and I was like,
well, he was a contestant,
or whatever the case was, but I was like, okay, so this is some fucking true crime thing. I just didn't because I had no information on it. But that's I just fair. Didn't like that format of
I
it.
I get that.
Of that playback of his life was, and the progression. But it was informative. I appreciated it later. I'll say
it was the exposition needed to set up the rest of the film.
I'll say that I appreciated it later in the movie.
Yeah.
Given what all happens in the movie, I appreciate it. But at the start, I found I was like,
yeah,
I'm not going to like this fucking movie.
You're just a fucking hater, bro.
Well, it sets it up perfectly.
It makes it hard if you're like a diehard horror fan that's like expecting a kill within like the first like 15 minutes, and then the first 30 minutes was the exodus and like what's going on.
Yeah, no, it wasn't
that's what Oliver wanted to do after watching the first 15 minutes.
No,
you knew what it wasn't.
I never like it when you're spoon fed shit.
Sometimes you
and,
have to be.
And it was very spoon fed.
It needed
to explain a lot of things because of what happens later in the movie.
Well, the setup is it's a found footage piece. So that's the whole setup is, hey, this is Jack Delroy. On October 31st, 1977, he aired a Halloween special. This is that found footage that was setting in a fucking vault somewhere.
Yeah. No, it all made sense later. And the movie was completely not what I thought it was going to be. Even from watching that, I thought he was going to be something fucked up. It wasn't at all what I expected. I'll say this. I really liked the movie. I know we're not there yet, but I just want to say that.
I think this is one of the top movies that's come out recently.
I really ended up enjoying it, and I love that when I start off doubting a movie, and then later on, I'm like sold on it that was a good story.
What I liked throughout the film, and I don't know if any of you guys picked up on it, was before even any of the weird spooky shit started happening, there was like little glitches to the film, like little artifacts like happening throughout like this found footage where like certain things would just be like a glitch.
Yeah, it was like the camera malfunctioned or lagged or something. I mean,
which they referenced when basically it goes between the actual footage that was supposedly on TV that night and then the backstage footage behind the scenes stuff that would cut to black and white, and it would kind of like,
yeah, that was the transition.
It became like really disorienting at times too, because you're like, oh fuck.
Well, that was my first. You guys had seen it before, mm-hmm. but Bailey was asking, has this, you know, it was the second set of when it went to black and white. Has this whole movie been in black and white? And I was like, no, I think the what they're doing is every commercial break is in black and white,
yeah.
for basically showing, hey, that they're not on show anymore. And this
which
is,
makes it nice for the like the viewer, yeah. because they're like, oh, this is live on air. And
I thought that was pretty transparent. Yeah, I thought that was easy to pick up on. Bailey had a hard time with it, some mental handicaps, but. You know, she's got
cruise lag, man.
We got through it.
Clearly.
We caught her up.
But, whatever. You know, and it starts out like a normal late night show. It's campy. It's got all the things telling that you would see on Johnny Carson, or not really a current late night show, but like Jay Leno or Letterman back in the day.
Yeah. There's also that whole aspect. I mean, it goes into this in that preface to the whole actual movie, that backstory of him being involved in this cult.
Yeah,
essentially,
it alludes to the Bohemian Grove.
Yeah, so yeah, it alludes to the Bohemian Grove. What was the other thing that I said? Oh, Waco.
Yeah, it's one of the characters that shows up later on. But basically,
there were real life references in the movie, which you can draw parallels to that they clearly drew from, and they did it in a tasteful,
yeah,
in a tasteful way.
I thought it was very well shot too.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's not any crazy shots to the movie
until the end.
A little bit of craziness there, but still,
like
the
cameras are starting to like
the main, tilt. Yeah, the main. You know, there's no insane CGI or big set pieces. The majority of the movie is taking place on a soundstage for a late night show. That's the movie, and it takes you through this hour of TV, basically
live TV.
And the commercial breaks as well, because you get to see those commercial breaks and what happens in between, you know, them being live and not live.
I do think it's funny.
I thought that was good. I thought that was nice. The
thing that happened, like, they were like, immediately cut to like a commercial, like, but the guy's like Pepto Bismol, blah blah blah, and everybody's like, "What the fuck just happened?"
He said, "Make sure you take Pepto Bismol before trying to talk to the dead." So
Jack Delroy is like hosting this Halloween thing, and he brings out some spooky guests, and the first one is Christu, the psychic.
Yes.
So he's like very much
the medium.
Yeah, he's one of those like guys that work a crowd
to. Freaky stuff.
Yeah, he'll like work a crowd and be like, I'm getting who was that dude in the 90s that had that show Passing or Crossing Over? There was a psychic in the 90s that had like a TV show like that.
I don't know. Wasn't born.
Look it up real quick, Christian. But it was very similar to that style of thing, and then it's cold reading is what he was doing, where he's like, oh, I'm getting a Margaret. Or whatever name,
yeah.
And then somebody goes, "I have a brother name,
yeah, or
a
sister named Margaret." He's, I think they're called like illusionists or something. The people that are mentalists. That's what they're called.
Yeah, mentalists.
Mentalists. They guess around things, and then somebody says, "Oh, you're hitting close to something," and then they latch onto that. And the more information they glean from whoever, they're able to pick apart whatever's going on.
Yeah, because they're like, well, Margaret says don't worry about the money or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, the main thing with the story is they've got this contrast between the supernatural and the skeptics.
Yeah.
And so it's this constant, they have another guest on there that's kind of going, hey, I know what this is all about. I'm in this business, but I'm transparent about it and blah, blah, blah. And he's kind of poking holes in all the all the bullshit that the people will pull.
Before the first commercial break, Christu gets a third reading and it overtakes him. And it's like the first instance, oh, shit, okay, something's not right here.
Yeah.
That's your first instance of, oh, this is there's more going on behind the scenes.
And see, that's actually the point where so
John Edward is
John Edwards cold reading.
So the beginning of the movie, like, I thought the whole time that the host was going to be some horrific person because his story is so tragic.
He kind of is.
It's all tragedy.
Yeah.
Leading up to that. And he's trying to get back into the
beat Johnny Carson.
The game. Yeah, he's trying to get back into the game and he's trying to do something provocative
and he's about to lose his show
and get ratings. Yeah. So yeah. This fucking guy. I mean, it really is. It's just filled with tragedy, this guy's life. I mean, that whole beginning montage
is about him like losing his wife.
Yeah, it's so tragic. I mean,
what was the skeptic's name? I cannot fucking remember it.
It's something Carr.
Yeah,
his last name's Carr.
Carball.
His last name's Carr. Everybody refers to him as Carr.
Carr. It was Carmine.
No, it wasn't.
No, his name was Carmine, and everybody called him Carr for Carmine for short. But it was like Carmine something. But anyway,
Carmen Ball. I don't know.
Right. But he comes out and he's like...
Carmichael.
Well, that was easy.
There you go.
Carmichael the Conjurer is what his...
There you go.
Is what his name is.
Carmine the Conjurer.
He was much of like, what, a magician?
Yeah, he was like an illusionist.
Yeah, he had switched professions to debunking,
which is actually really like kind of if you really like break that down.
Well, it's like a Penn and Teller.
That's kind of cool to be like an illusionist and then be like, oh, by the way, like I'm gonna break down your illusion.
Yeah,
I'm gonna show you how you did it.
It's like that show that Penn and Teller did, Fool Me or whatever it is. They at least had the professional courtesy.
I was more of a Chris Angel mind freak guy.
When they figured things out that people did, they didn't just blow out the secret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the show.
There was a show in the 90s called like The Masked Magician or whatever, and he would go and like do the tricks and then tell everybody how they're done. And magicians all over the country were fucking pissed.
Yeah. Yeah. See, anyways.
There's
an immediate adversarial.
Yeah, he's the antagonist.
You know, set up in the show, and it's set up that way by our main character. what's his name?
Jack Del Roy.
Jack Del Roy has these two adversarial people on the show to contrast.
Yeah, he has Christu out on the stage, who's still like fucked up from getting that overcharged spirit, who we find out in this segment is actually Jack's dead wife.
I completely lost that thread that I was going to go on, but I thought this movie was going to be that he was getting in touch with, because the first names that the guy was throwing out, because he goes through like three iterations of names that he's throwing out, and it takes a minute for people to latch on. I thought it was going to be something like, these are people that this fucking show host killed. That's what I was thinking.
That would be cool.
And that he was just kind of quietly sitting by going like, oh, I don't know.
And we're going to go to commercial.
Isn't this great? And then we're going to find out later that, oh, he's been fucking just slaughtering people the whole time.
Yeah, not that kind of movie.
Yeah, not that kind of movie.
I kind of wanted to not give you guys too much.
I didn't know shit. I didn't know
That's how I wanted it to be, because me and Christian have already seen this film.
Yeah, but actually watching it a second time was much better.
You picked up on a lot more shit.
Yeah. It was filmed well.
Yeah, so the skeptic and the spiritual or psychic are going at it back and forth going, you know, I'm not a charlatan, whatever. So homeboy whips out like a check for $500,000 and be like, well, then prove it.
Yeah, his bet is to anyone who can prove the supernatural. And that's fine. That's not an important point, but, you know.
Bless you. But yeah, the movie really starts cooking once they bring out Lily and her handler, essentially, which is Jack's girlfriend. And then the wheels start to fucking come off.
Yeah, well, and that's the Waco parallel.
Well, they play a clip where it's involving this cult, kind of like a Church of Satan, Anton LaVey type thing. But then it cuts to like the feds raiding the house, and that's the Waco parallel that you're talking about. But
they drag that girl out.
They all of them saved set themselves her.
On fire, except the one girl survived.
So it goes through. They, you know, Jack talks him into
devil worshiping.
Yeah, Jack talks him into like letting the devil out onto the show and letting the demon in her talk to the audience at home for their ratings, because at the end of the day, it's all about the fucking ratings. Mm.
I'm pretty sure demons don't like being puppeteered out onto the stage.
This one does. I think we learned
that they do not.
Did you look him up?
Well, Abraxas, it's brought up in the show. Abraxas loves that because every magician's calling word when they invoke a spell is abracadabra.
Yep.
Abraxas so, cadabra.
He is the demon of lore and magic.
So that makes sense. That tracks.
So, which is really cool.
But, so they go through, they channel this girl. She completely, like, freaks the fuck out and doesn't know, the demon doesn't know where it is. And then it's like, oh, he's here, isn't he? Talking about Jack Del Roy. So this is when the fucking rails start really going wild.
Yeah.
And the movie progresses.
All the while, there's supernatural shit going on. And this guy Carr is going,
this is all bullshit.
This is all bullshit. You know, he's being, rightly so, a skeptic of all this stuff, saying it's trickery.
Do you think he made it worse by doing that?
Yes. He definitely opened the door.
I think he probably insulted the powers that be.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he was just doing what he thought. Hey, you pulled this trick.
I feel like he was don't just give being a fuck about.
He was being the ultimate skeptic when you see shit that. I mean, obviously his belief was firm that, hey, this stuff doesn't exist, blah, blah, blah. And there's always a logical and, you know, not supernatural explanation for anything that takes place. And so that's his mode of thinking. And that's what he proceeded with. And pulled off his own fuckery to prove his point. Was that he could trick everybody into thinking something really horrific happened, and then it didn't. And how he proves that is he hypnotizes everyone in a fucked up way and makes them witness a really grotesque scene.
What did you guys think about that fucking scene, by the way?
That was really cool. Of him ripping his chest open, or like his stomach open, and then like worms falling out of it. I was like, that's fucking awesome.
He hypnotizes the Night Owl announcer into thinking like he's got worms in his skin. But it's super graphic. It's fucking awesome. It's like the first real gory scene of the film. And it's straight up like body horror. Like, it kind of made me think of Eraserhead a little bit when the worm's like crawling out the guy's fucking eye. What did you think, Bailey?
I thought it was cool. It wasn't.
Would you be freaked out if somebody hypnotized you and pretended like you had worms in your body?
Oh, fuck yeah. But,
do you think you would react the way that guy did?
If somebody could actually pull the...
Hey, excuse me?
Sorry.
Thanks. Just looking at it...
I don't know if I would react that way. From, like, I think I would be,
like,
a viewer standpoint. I think that the effects were just kind of, like, shit. Like, they didn't look real to me. I don't know if that makes any sense. So, like, I didn't think it was, like, super cool because it didn't look super...
Real?
Real.
Because it wasn't real. It was hypnosis.
Ooh. I think it was a big ball of worms that fell out of his stomach that didn't look real.
Yeah, that might have been it.
It was like, here's a bucket.
Well, when they go...
No, it was like that big mega worm. That was, like, weird.
Oh,
like,
that came out of his eye?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was hot.
Okay.
Yeah, who wouldn't want a big mega worm?
Coming out of their tight little...
Eyeball.
Eye hole.
Well, it didn't come out of the eyeball. Eye hole. Eye socket. It just burst through his fucking skull. It blew his shit out. It blew his back out.
And then all of a sudden he was fine because he was under hypnosis.
What?
And the girl Lily's like, well, play back our tape. And they do, and it's exactly as it happened originally, and then all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
And then
manifesting
we,
it.
Yeah. Then you go to the end scene, Jack walks through like this weird psychedelic.
Which is cool.
Like
he has thing like where, a weird ayahuasca trip.
Yeah, basically. It's like a nightmare fugue. But
we find out.
No. I mean, it's a delusion. I mean,
Delulu.
Or illusion. He's imagining all this shit in his past that he's playing out right in front of him.
Yeah. It's like he's reliving the last 7 years of his life.
And I'm still not clear if that's actually what happened.
Well, that's kind of where...
Yeah, it's ambiguous. Is this how he got... Did he sell his soul to this cult? He
definitely
of,
did.
Fuck yeah, I mean, Bohemian Grove.
Yeah, I mean, I think he sold his soul and
to get ratings.
I mean, that's why she alludes to it earlier. Hey, we met in the tall trees.
Yeah.
Lily, when she's in her therapy session with the doctor... When they're first doing it, she alludes to, hey, we've met before, Jack. And Jack, of course, is like, I don't know who the fuck you are.
That's why the devil's looking for
him. I think the final scene.
I love that connection.
The final scene for me is the most telling and fucked up out of the whole film, where it... After Jack gets to the near the end of this like weird nightmare fugue state, the door opens up and it's his wife dying in bed from the lung cancer, and she asks Jack to kill her,
stab her with the demonic dagger.
Yeah, the sacrificial dagger that they would use to sacrifice the children. So then. As soon as he plunges the dagger in what he thinks is his wife, it reveals to be Lily. Everybody in the studio is fucking dead still from when the chaos ensued. But it's just him completing the ritual.
Yeah.
He completed the Abraxas ritual because that girl was bred and raised to be sacrificed to Abraxas. So his whole job... was to sacrifice that girl for the cult of Abraxas.
But he made a deal with the devil where he gave his wife for like the fame, right?
No, they said you are going to have to
pay a price.
They never explicitly said what that was. I think everything that happened in this film was set in motion when he drank from that cup.
In Bohemian Grove.
No, that wasn't in Bohemian Grove. That was...
When he signed his contract.
That was signing the contract.
Well, he drank from the cup in the grove.
I think he signed the contract and then went to the Grove. Went to Bohemian Grove because he's now elite. Yeah.
I mean, I think he signed that contract in probably New York City, and then they were like, come out to the Grove.
Yeah, yeah, if you would have let me actually finish the sentence, that's exactly what I was fucking saying.
You can take credit for my ideas.
It takes four to fucking tango, Oliver.
Again, you can take credit for what I say.
You can say it's yours. Like I was saying,
I said children. It first.
Children.
It's on record.
Children.
I said it.
I actually said it first. You just weren't listening because you were so busy fucking yapping. Run it back.
Hey, cunt.
Ooh! I'm telling my mom.
Your mom is getting tired.
Mommy.
And ready to, like, let's...
Okay. So, that's my thought, is this whole film is just a setup for Lily to be sacrificed by Jack. Like, everything that happened, his wife getting cancer, him meeting the author of the book, conversation with the devil, to get them on the show, everything was predetermined. It's all predestined. It was fate.
When he drank from the cup?
Well, he took in that contract. He was the one that had
He sold his soul.
Yeah. He sold his soul to Abraxas. Soul. Yeah. So, eventually, you have to pay up.
Yeah. You have to pay up.
And, yeah, he got what he wanted. He has the highest rated show on television. It's the Twisted Monkey Paw. It's like
Did they ever explicitly say that?
Well, they keep saying it throughout the back end of the film.
They kept saying, like,
you're gonna
he was 1 point under.
Well, no, that was before. What they kept saying during the back end is, you're up 50 points in the ratings. And they kept, like, reaffirming him. And he did go down as legendary in the end of the film. Like, after it cuts to him putting the knife in, like, after, you know, he's holding Lily with a knife in her gut.
Yeah, but it was his final show.
It was his final show, but he went out a legend.
He went out on top.
He went out on top.
For a night.
It was almost like a Creeps in the Tales from the Crypt. Jesus Christ. That was
no, that's us.
Yeah.
Yeah, delusions of grandeur.
Yeah. It's almost like a Tales from the Crypt type episode. But, like, there's a lesson to be learned here.
Yeah. No, I definitely think there was a moral to the story of... is it going to be worth it?
So, let's get into... Now that we've kind of talked about the key scenes of the film. Because I feel like it needed to be talked about for this one. Not every single film needs to be...
Yeah,
examined in such a way, but I feel like this one does.
For as little, it's amazing. For as little set pieces as there is, because this entire movie essentially is just on a soundstage of a talk show host or a talk show. There is a lot of depth there, which is interesting because there's not a lot of movies that pull that off, where it's one set and there's a lot of story to be told within that, and not just that, this is taking place over an hour long Tonight Show.
Yeah. And that, they get a lot done.
That is the whole fucking movie. Is that it's an the movie's a total of like maybe 90 minutes, and you get some backstory and stuff. I mean, it's pretty accurately close to
the pacing's phenomenal.
The pacing's
that movie's only an hour and a half.
Yeah,
good for getting the point across. Kill whatever you're getting.
And the story that they tell. I mean, it's in depth.
In an hour and a half, it's pretty good.
So, let's talk about favorite scenes. Christian, you go first.
I really enjoyed the scene where Christu channeled, not the part where he started puking. That was cool. But
Minnie.
Yeah, Minnie. That Minnie scene was really good.
Which is Jack's wife.
Yeah, I thought that the acting was really, really good. I was really engaged in it. I was like, and I've seen this film before, and I was like, ooh, this is spooky. It was done really well. That was like an amazing scene with him. Like, he's like, I'm channeling a much stronger spirit. Minnie, Mandy... And then Jack trying to play it off, like, are you sure it's Minnie? Like, are you, you know, and then he makes the association. You can see it in his face. Like, the, just but
he
acting.
Doesn't, he doesn't, like, speak up.
No, but that, just that, and then, like, lets the guy drown a little bit and then get fucked up.
Yeah. What about you, Bailey?
I really liked, I liked all of the times that the girl was possessed.
Mr. Wriggles.
I specifically, let me finish a thought.
I am.
I saw you breathe.
Jesus.
She's possessed.
Specifically when she like rose up in the air and her head was like split and then she cocked her head. I was like, bad bitch.
Yeah, basically like her head cracks open and lightning starts spewing out of her fucking head.
Yeah, so, that shit was cool.
Prior to the movie, you said that Bailey thought one of the actors was hot. Which one was it? Yeah,
who are you talking about?
Jack Del Roy.
No.
You did, though.
In what movie?
The Last Voyage of the Demir.
Who was he?
He was the assistant cat. He was like the second in command. He was the dude.
First mate?
Yeah, first mate. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, he was not hot in this movie.
Yeah.
Well, he's also dressed up in the 70s with the chops.
Yeah, I was never really into 70s looks.
Yeah, he had the
back in the day.
You thought he was a good looking dude in the last movie.
Well, I looked him up.
1800s sailor gear, that's fucking hot.
Well, then I looked him up after and I looked up the actor and I was like, not hot.
Oh, I missed that part.
All right, whatever.
Anyway, Oliver, how about you? What was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene. I think when she first gets when they first entice the demon to come out,
it's very Exorcist.
Yeah, I mean, they're calling to it, and no one's sure if it's just bullshit showmanship fuckery, and then. It makes that comment to Jack, we've met before. I mean, that's foreboding, if anything. That, yeah. And again, I still was under the impression that he, even at that moment, I was like, oh, the devil knows him because he's some fucked up serial killer. That's how much it threw me. Because
you were obsessed with this serial killer idea.
I was. Because of the way it started off. And I just thought it was going to. I had just my mind had just latched onto the idea that they were going to play into some trope of like, oh, here's a game show or talk show host that's a fucking serial killer, and he's a sinister looking guy. I mean, he's not like an innocent looking actor, you know. He looks nefarious to me. You know,
fair enough.
So that was probably my favorite scene. Yeah.
Mine was definitely when he's like going through the nightmare dreamscape.
Yeah.
And like, it's just playing back like clips from the show, but he knows
how it goes.
Yeah. He's like, something's wrong here. America, turn off your televisions, please. Like pleading with people. So that was my favorite. There's really not like a favorite kill scene here because all the kills happen within like.
I don't know. Carmichael burning to death was pretty funny when he tries to make peace with the devil and then.
Oh yeah,
he's I liked like when tempting she it with a that check. Lady's throat.
That was funny.
Yeah, with her own crucifix.
That was funny.
It was funny.
So you like the crucifix throat slit?
No, I like the dude, the Carmichael dude, burning alive.
Oh, that was your favorite? Cool. That one was good.
I like the throat slit.
Okay.
From the necklace.
Yeah, favorite? It's not really kills, they're like deaths.
Well, I mean, the demon is killing
them. I mean, yeah, sure. I guess I'd have to go with him killing Lily. I mean, because
Gus gets no love. His neck gets snapped, and nobody brings
that,
him up.
That's actually my favorite one.
Is it? Oh, sorry.
Gus, the announcer,
gets snapped right.
And he's
up.
Like, "The power of Christ compels you," and Lily just looks at him and snaps his fucking head around, and he just falls through the table. Great.
Yeah, I just think that the illusion of him playing out what he most likely did, which was killing his wife. Or I guess they were never really married because he said unmarried man.
Well, he's not married, but he still had a wedding ring on.
Right. But because does that just mean he's dead? So he's a widower?
Yeah.
Okay. So they were married.
Yeah.
Okay. Because my thought was they never got married.
A married man wearing or
an unmarried man. I would think it would be a
well, he was a widower, well, so yeah, he's so he no longer be, married because
right.
At death they parted.
Right.
All right, let's do ratings. Let's do 1 to 10. Bailey, you go first.
For me, I think a solid 8.5.
Okay.
I really liked it. I really liked it. And I didn't think I would because I don't like demons.
Yeah, that she's explicitly said, I don't like demonic shit.
But I did yeah. like this.
I'm like, well, this...
It's not demon heavy, though.
It's not.
No.
It's not. It's like not, dipping your toe in the water.
Yeah, I mean, it's... And let's be clear. I mean, the real demonic shit... This movie is a... There's a real slow build up to the action.
It's a slow burn.
It's yeah. like an introduction.
I mean, there is an hour of build up before that last 30 minutes. And it's a good payoff, I'll say that, of the movie. It's a good payoff because it hits.
Yeah.
Well, it's but night with it, the devil, it, not moving but in with
I,
the devil.
I went to the bathroom and I was like, we were halfway through 45, 50 minutes. It's like, man, when the fuck is this thing going to kick off?
Yeah.
And we're like,
we told you.
Don't worry.
Yep.
It gets good. And you guys were right. So.
Like I told you, it's night with the devil, not I'm moving in with the devil.
It
just
right.
pushes you. Just.
I'm hanging out with the devil. Yeah, we're chilling for a little
it's
bit.
It's like having the devil on watching him on a Saturday night.
Invite him for dinner.
Well, maybe not that far. But, all right, so an 8.5 from Bailey. Oliver, go ahead.
So we're on a 10 scale now, huh?
Yep. Well, so I normally there's 5 and then a 5 for gore. So it's 1 to 5, and then I combine the two. But
this wasn't really a gory movie.
This isn't
movie.
Really a gory movie. No, so
this has to be an overarching. I'm going to say... An 8.2. I like the story.
We're doing twos now?
8.2, yeah.
8.2. All right. I like the story. I thought it was a really amazing what they managed to tell inside a one set piece. I thought they accomplished a lot. They told a really compelling story.
I'm with you. Christian?
I'm going to give this one a 9.
Hell yeah, girl. That's...
Only because there was a lot of unanswered questions, and I like those. I like when things aren't answered, and you're like, well, why did this
it
happen?
It leaves you wanting more, but
I like that too.
But you're never going to get those, and that's okay, because I that's my favorite part about horror movies is that they do that. Like, you question things. They answer all the questions, and like when they drag it out, I don't like that.
I just pray to God 5 years from now they don't like make a fucking sequel or some shit.
I
mean,
I think sequels always fuck things up.
They do. I don't
a lot
want
of the
sequel.
Times they do, because they have to retcon a bunch of shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also going to give this movie a 9.
I think it deserves a 9. I think it was done well. I think it was filmed well. I think that the...
Should we do an average?
Sure.
I mean, that's a really good score for a movie. Especially when they came out in 2024. Most people think, like... I mean, but the filming was just done really well, and it was storytelling was
so
good.
We average 8.7 for this movie.
All right. Average 8.7. Late Night with the Devil. Check it out on streaming services.
You know, whichever one.
Yeah, make sure you download our episodes, guys. Thank you for listening to Cinema Crypt this week. We will be back next week. I'm very excited because we're going to be reviewing Long Legs.
I've never seen it.
Well, neither have I.
Good. Nobody watch it.
I'm not.
No, we won't.
Let's all watch something for the first time together. That'll be a first for the podcast.
I'm sorry. Yeah. We watch horror movies all the time. That's like your thing.
I know. I get it. But
and it's like not my
but
thing.
But you guys got to stop watching new horror movies so we can all watch it together.
I'm with you.
I guess we're just going to watch Drag.
Yeah, we'll watch Dragula. That's fine.
Dragula.
Well, all right, guys. We will see you next week.
Stay spooky.
Stay creepy.
Stay strange.
Yep.
What is yours?
We did it out of whack.
Did you say it?
Yeah.
She jumped ahead of the line.
I think it's stay sexy, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it was? Stay scared.
Stay scared.
Yeah, stay scared. Well, we'll get it eventually, guys.
We'll see you next week.
We're just a bunch of fuck ups.
So. Yeah, we suck.
We who?
Bye, guys.
Listen, everyone makes messes. It's just a part of life. And the bigger you live, the bigger the mess, if you know what I mean. That's why you need Fabuloso. With twice the active cleaning ingredients, it just completely takes the drama out of any mess. It smells great while you clean. The only way to describe it is the scent of passion. And once you're done cleaning, it lasts so long. You know, if you make a mess, you can get your home dramatically clean with Fabuloso. No worries.